Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. And Eddie, after last night, I would like to add, yes! Welcome back to another edition of Trendy presented by Omaha, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And God bless sports, Edward Murphy. That was an incredible night. An incredible night. Not only did we have the Islanders blowing a massive lead right there at the end, which I'm sure you've got thoughts on, we had two NBA buzzer beaters in which I had a two-way parlay on both games. And so I am up 7.8 to 6 right now. I should actually be up 1,000 to 6 if I was betting it live in-game versus the odds of it hitting. That was freaking believable.
It was truly a fantastic day in sports. I felt like after how bad the call by Hunter Wendelstedt against Aaron Boone tossing away the game, the Yankees losing to the lowly Sacramento Athletics. And I'm like, well, something has to turn around today. We need some good vibes, some good energy. So, you know, I watched the Knicks game. The Knicks were leading by 8 points in that fourth quarter. They got down to, I believe it was like 4 or 5 points with like a little over a minute left. And I'm like, oh, well, this is probably the end of that. I almost turned it off because at that point we had, I believe, the Bruins Leafs game was wrapping up. The Islanders were about to blow their game, which we'll get into, versus the Canes. And then the other game was starting up the Stars and Knights, which was a high-scoring affair as well. So a lot of fun stuff going on. So luckily I left the game on, and then we see what transpired with the three-pointer, the bad inbounds, and then another three-pointer, the double bang by Mike Breen, which is just iconic. Then the Maxey tried the layup, missed it hard. They get the rebound, Anunoby, and then hits the free throws. Joel Embiid misses his three-pointer. It was just an incredible game. The A-lister stars surrounding the court and MSG. The place was rocking. It was so loud that you have poor Nick Nurse crying about not being able to get a timeout, in which video has proven that he was very delayed on that. So it was just unbelievable. What a night of sports. And then not even getting into your Nuggets Lakers, which you had in your first bet there. So it was just a great day in NBA, great day in NHL. Couldn't ask for anything more.
First of all, free advertisement because it's so incredible. If you have YouTube TV, the multi-stream that they now have in with the one clicks that I was able to watch the Islanders collapse, the Bruins, the Magic Cleveland game, which wasn't all that interesting, and the Knicks game all at the same time on one click of a button. Like the technology that would have taken to absorb all of those four games at once 10 years ago, which I used to do, like running physical cables throughout my house to second cable boxes and things like that. And now you just have it at one button. It was magical, and it was for exactly a night last night. And like one of the main thoughts that I had, Eddie, like after absorbing all of it, was that roar you hear in the Garden, that roar you hear in the Nuggets. Like that is why we actually care about sports. That's why we follow sports. Like this is wildly less important than so many other things that are going on in this world. But that 3 seconds, man, that 3 seconds when that Murray shot goes in, or they get the steal and DiVincenzo hits that three, and the pure uncut human emotion that roars out of like 30,000 people all at once in the stadium and millions of people around the globe as people reacted to that. That is the good stuff. That is why we're here.
Absolutely. I mean, especially, in the Garden with the ticket prices being what they are, which is absurd. You know, the fans that are paying top dollar for them to get in the building and they see something like that, you know, they are screaming out their lungs. They're going to rip apart their throat because they are so invested. They're so into that team. And the same goes, I'm sure, for the Nuggets fans as well. And you know what? And the Canes fans, too, I guess, with scoring the tying goal and the leading goal in a 9 second span. I'm sure they were screaming as well. So, I mean, yeah, that's like the hardcore fans, the ones who were able to stomach attending a playoff game in person. I'm not sure I'm able to do that. I don't think I would, but I am jealous of those who can go there and see that. And again, like that moment of dread, and I know the Nuggets fans had it too, and all these teams I'm talking about, they had it where you're like, oh, that's probably it. It's probably over. And then, you know, as Tom Thibodeau has been saying, you know, the game was actually never over with him, and it truly was not over. And, you know, credit to Embiid, who's playing her clearly, and I know Maxey was questionable as well. They scored the majority of their team's points. But this Knicks team, I believe I said it in the first trendy of this week, that it's just like there's so many similarities to that mid-90s Knicks team with all those tough dudes, those blue-collar dudes. And this team is the same way. Josh Hart, it is now officially the Hart bet, the Josh Hart bet on Trendy, because that dude played every single minute of that playoff game. He is just awesome. I mean, John Starks was jumping out of his seat trying to dap him up in the middle of the game. Like, Carmelo was there. It was just, it was a place to be, and it's awesome.
It couldn't have been a more Knicks-y like moment when you get Brunson who hits a three. Mm-hmm. They like trap the corner, a little bit of rough. Like, well, we could talk about whether that was a foul or not, but sure. It doesn't matter. It ended up not being called. I think that was kind of fair for the flow of the game. They had been whistles down for a lot of the fourth quarter, but you get Brunson to hit the three. Then you get Hartenstein. That rebound was unbelievable. Like, awesome. There were four Sixers around him, and he clearly went right to the right area, went up high, grabbed it at the highest point. Attack before everybody else knew it, but like, talk about another guy Knicks fans love. And then the balls on DiVincenzo to take the second shot. Like, the first one, he was wide open. He gacks it. He gets the second opportunity, does not hesitate whatsoever, puts it down. Like, Brunson, Hartenstein, Hart, DiVincenzo, these aren't necessarily Hall of Famers. Maybe Brunson will make it one day, but they are all Knicks legends at this point.
It's crazy that the majority of them, all of them are like second round picks. There's not a single lottery pick in there. I believe only Hart was the last pick of the first round. You know, Hartenstein only took one shot in the first half, and in the second half, he didn't miss a shot. He had just such nice tusks for a big man. And, you know, he had a phenomenal game, that rebound going, you know, Embiid, I think clearly really was kind of, you know, he's normally a great defender, was just not really giving it his all. I don't think he could, because you saw on the sidelines too, they're wrapping his knee, unwrapping his knee, icing it up, massaging it. Like, he is not 100% clearly. So he is just not giving his all in the defensive end. He's playing a ton of minutes, still all banged up. So yeah, a Hartenstein coming over the top, getting that rebound. And DiVincenzo, I love his postgame comments when he said like he was just like effing pissed at himself or something like that, because he knows how important hitting those dagger threes are. And they talk about that in like their team practices. But he took a second shot at it and hit that one. And those Villanova guys, you know, all friends, all on the same team, and just they all just fit a role perfectly with each other. And again, I can't say enough about how great Josh Hart was, the amount of rebounds he was getting for someone his size. And Brunson, I mean, look, he had a clutch shot there. He had a rough game. He had a rough two games, honestly. I was joking to some friends that he has to do what, like, the quarterbacks do with the NFL offensive line when they go out and buy them, like, luggage or, like, a Rolex. Like, he has to buy everyone a Rolex on that team for really bailing him out, because – It's like the best role players you could possibly have just playing out of their minds together. And that's what this collection of Knicks players are doing right now. And they're beating a Sixers team, which probably has more talent than they do. But just hitting clutch shots and just being coached up like by Tom Thibodeau, who's you know, an NBA lifer. He's getting the most out of these guys. And that game, just in front of all those stars, and just how intense this fan base is, because they know that winning these two games before they go to Philadelphia, where it's paramount. So what they did, what they accomplished last night, not letting the lead get too far away from them, even though they gave up their own 8-point lead in the fourth quarter. I am very happy. I know it sounds kind of like a bandwagoner. Trust me, basketball was my first love. Kind of fell out of love a little bit, but I always, you know, deep down, always do care about the Knicks. I grew up with all those guys and the posters on my wall and stuff. So it was just awesome to see the Garden rocking last night.
Yeah, look, this collection of, you know, roles players, I mentioned them being Knicks legends. It's the sweet spot. Like, you know, if I mention I'm an Orioles fan, anybody can say Cal Ripken Jr. Or, you know, if I mention, you know, I'm a Redskins fan growing up, like, somebody might mention Darryl Green to me. Like, there's people that, like, the whole public knows. And then there's guys that are just yours, man. Like, I'm happy to talk about Cal Ripken Jr. from my childhood. He was a very important figure for me. I'm also more happy to talk about Michael Morse and the run that he had on the, like, mid-2010s Nationals and how much I loved him. Or, you know, Charles Mann coming off the edge in the 80s, or Jeff Malone for the old Bullets teams. Like, these guys who aren't household names, that aren't Hall of Famers, that rise up in these simple moments that, like, grind for you and your franchise, that are just the next level to connect to. And I think it's another thing that makes sports so great.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, talking about the Knicks specifically, and it's kind of continuing to this team, and, like, sure, there have been some star players that come through that we've, you know, you've had your Carmelo Anthony's, and you've had your Stephon Marbury's, but like when I'm thinking about the Knicks teams that I like knew and rooted for, I'm thinking of Charlie Ward and Chris Childs and Kurt Thomas and just like guys like that. So it's to see what this team is doing now, and credit to the front office. Obviously, you know, giving praise to Thibodeau for coaching them, but the front office for, you know, Leon Rose and company figuring out which players match up and mix up well with each other, and they have this chemistry, and that is a large part of this team. It's the thing you hear more about really in like hockey is like having chemistry with your line mates, and they kind of found out the way that these guys are play together, and like they have the weird like telepathic on-court vision that like Brunson has specifically with Hartenstein in a few moments, and like they just know where to be, and it's great, and they're beating a good team. I understand they're banged up, the Sixers, but it's that was a massive win, and now I feel pretty good about them winning the series.
Look, we planned this yesterday before last night, and before last night it kind of felt indulgent. Now it feels a little bit required. We got to do the New York power rankings because, like, as we mentioned earlier in the week on the show yesterday, like this is the time when all four sports converge. It's like now in late October, the two times of the year it happens. And if I'm to be walking around right now in New York, and like I love New York. I lived there. It's my favorite city in the world. Wasn't lucky enough to be born there, but I couldn't help that. Got there as soon as I could. If I was walking around and just like, I don't know, in Sheep's Meadow in Central Park or like somewhere in Brooklyn or Queens or whatever it might be, pick your area. Like, what are people talking about the most right now? And so the options, Yankees, Mets, Islanders, Rangers, Knicks, Nets, Giants, Jets. I don't know if the Devils count. You can make the ruling as a native New Yorker. I don't know if the Devils get included in that list. Apologies to like NYFC and Red Bulls and Gotham and Liberty. They're probably not competing with the Knicks given the Knicks heater right now. So where would you power rank like the mainstream teams?
Well, to make the soccer teams feel better, we could put the Devils with them. Being honest again, we could put the Nets with them, and we could probably put the Islanders with them as well. The Islanders are probably more centric to being on Long Island. You know, in the city, you're not really hearing much buzz about it because the city itself, Manhattan, I'm talking about, is being taken over by the teams that play at Madison Square Garden, which are the Knicks and the Rangers. The thing is, like, I still think that this is a baseball town. But I think because the sheer amount of people that live here, and then there's a pretty even split between Mets and Yankees fans. Like, obviously the Yankees are the way older franchise, but the Mets have been here quite a while as well, and they have some deep rooted history. And it's the same kind of thing as the Jets. Like, the Jets, not as old as the Giants by any stretch, but they've had enough history here. Obviously Joe Namath back in, you know, Super Bowl III. So there's plenty of, you know, there's been generations of families who have rooted for just the Jets and just the Mets. So that's what kind of hurts those teams. So that's why I do think like basketball is obviously just more popular than hockey by a lot. So I just think when the Knicks are really good, the vibe in the city is really clinging to them. But I also think because the sheer amount of people that live here, and then like the Yankee hat is the most popular hat probably in America, but so you'd be hard pressed to not have somebody talk about the Yankees around here. So I just think because of the amount of people in New York City that there's probably more Yankee fans, it's easier to be a casual Yankee fan. But when the Knicks are good, I think it really does change the vibe of Manhattan for the New Yorkers who are like striving for that. But I do feel like there is this kind of, I remember in 2014, before I moved out to Los Angeles, when the Rangers did make their cup run, I was shocked about how many, even around Staten Island, like restaurants and just shops, like having Rangers flags hanging. And again, this is not going to compare to the Knicks, I think, but just because hockey is still more of a niche sport. But I think teams are playing the Garden matter, and I think the Yankees are still probably king, but I would have the Knicks right there. And then I think football is a real the Giants probably edge out the Jets just because of the longevity and because of the history of success and having the Super Bowls with Eli and those LT teams, the Parcells. But again, you know, the Rex Ryan Jets years, that was like on Hard Knocks, like a lot of buzz around them. If Aaron Rodgers didn't hurt himself when, you know, this fourth play of his season, I think there's a lot of talent this Jets team. I think we're going to see that this upcoming NFL season, but there's a lot of buzz around the Jets too. The Jets are a fun story. So I just think if you're listening to like WFAN, you're going to get Jets calls, Giants calls, Yankees calls, and Mets calls. And that's like 98% of your show. So I guess for a final ranking, because I'm kind of filibustering here, I would say Yankees are one. And I would say that when the Knicks are good, that's just a tough thing because when the Knicks have been bad for so long and they stink and the tickets are so expensive, people kind of just zone out And oh, man, but when they are good, it's really tough to beat them. But I just
I'm
I'll
just letting you
go,
twist right now.
yeah, right now, because I think there's just no interest in the Giants. People are tired of the Giants. They're tired of the lack of success, even after a playoff road victory and just another year picking high. And the Knicks are just being they're playing so well right now, and Brunson's becoming the superstar. I'm gonna go. Maybe it's a slightly hot take. So Yankees are gonna be one. Knicks are gonna be two. I think the Mets kind of errors and flaws that we've seen flare up even with this new era with Steve Cohen, I think hurts them a little bit. So maybe I'll go Giants three, Mets four, Jets five, Rangers six, but that's like an asterisk. That's subject to if they win the cup. I think we'll get a nice little spark. And
Yeah.
then who am I missing after that? That's pretty much all the
You
Mets. I'm not even counting
you
anyone.
dismissed everybody else. You
Yeah,
dismissed the Nets and the
I
Islanders
did.
and everybody
They
else.
don't. They sadly they don't register. That's just the
Yeah.
truth.
Tough beat for the Islanders that they were relevant last night for all sorts of bad reasons, then instantly overshadowed. So they cannot rise up on Eddie Spaghetti's power rankings list. Giants, add this to your bulletin board material heading into the draft. Spaghetti says no one cares about you right now, given what's going on down the street at the Garden.
Yeah, I mean, winning does cure everything, but it's a weird thing with baseball. And I learned this from being in Boston for quite a number of years for college and stuff, that even when the Mets and Yankees lose, there's still a story. Like the Yankees
Yeah.
losing, it's why are they losing? And that becomes a top story. So there's no real avoiding the Mets and the Yankees. And the same thing, obviously, the Mets, the tumultuous, like, ownership changes and all that stuff. So that's always going to be a story there. You're always on people's minds. Whereas the Knicks, unfortunately, for a while, when the Knicks were struggling and not being very good, like they just people kind of push them away. You don't get a lot of calls on WFAN, or even if you listen to ESPN radio or whatever, you don't get a lot of calls on those teams when they're struggling, the basketball teams. So and football, it's just because football is just so immensely popular in America, everyone watches football, they matter. But I think what hurts those teams is that there's an even split between Jets and Giants fans. But the Jets are the more fun team to cover. The Giants kind of
Yeah.
have this boring way about them, pretty much. So that's what kind of keeps the Jets in like the limelight a little bit. So I just think the Giants right now, they're just not a fun team. They're in this weird purgatory that kind of hurts them.
Yeah, look, New York is such a melting pot, right? And so a lot of people are going to bring their football team with them when they move there, but they might have a little more adaptability in baseball and basketball. Yet, with ticket prices in the Garden, basketball is hard to get to. Football is all the
Yes.
way in Jersey, and it's a massive pain to get to those games. The Yankees is just right off the train, 81 dates a year, and tickets are 40, 50 bucks. And so it's easier to adapt the Yankees and everybody else within the melting pot, which I think is going to help grow. You have the native New Yorkers and then people that move there and kind of become adaptive New Yorkers. They're an easy team to gravitate towards.
Yeah, I mean, I wish the Bronx a little bit easier to get to if you're in Brooklyn or Staten Island or even downtown Manhattan. That's why MSG is so great, because it's just like it's in the center. It's so easy when Mecca is right there. It's only a 5 minute
Yeah.
train ride, or even a quick cab ride if you need to be. And that's why you're 100% right, Toby. Like the amount, the ticket prices to get into that building, that's what stinks. Like, yes, it's cool to see Sting and Selena Gomez and Stephen A. and whoever else sitting on the sideline, the court side there, but it's like they're not even paying for those tickets, and they could easily afford them. Whereas, like, me and Joe Schmo want to go to these games and see them, and the get in price is probably what, $300, $350, whatever, plus
Yeah.
tax. So, and then you got to pay $22 for a beer and a hot dog. It's just it stinks. So, but like when that place is buzzing, that's the place to be. That just
There's
that's
nothing
there's
like it.
no there's nothing like it at all whatsoever. I would say Yankee Stadium during those dynastic years, the Jeter teams, the Posadas, Bernie Williams, like that place was crazy. And my dad like didn't miss opening day back in the day, when they were winning all those championships in the mid to late 90s. That was at the Yankee Stadium for an outdoor place, was so loud in the old stadium. So that was another great one too. So
All right.
yeah, I would say it does fluctuate a little bit, but all in all, yeah, this is a baseball town.
Yep. Well, it's an amazing town. Thank you for giving your take on it. You did just introduce another topic that we'll do next time that you're on the show. Brett and I did iconic soccer stadiums for the neutral on Covered in Glory. Would love to do iconic sports venues with you for the neutral. It sounds like MSG has a hard case for being number one, but we'll get to that in a couple of months. Right now, we're going to get to our sponsors and then get to our picks. We'll be right back.
You know, when the conversation turns Tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, no, we ran a little bit long, but blame last night, and last night made it worth it. What a freaking night of sports. Because of Jamal Murray's shot, I not only hit the Nuggets Knicks parlay, I also cast the under. If it had gone to overtime, I might have been in trouble. That shot was massive for the contest this week. It helped me go up 7.8-6, although you're still sitting on a bet in hand. If it goes under and Rangers caps tonight, then we're basically tied. But, you know, we're recording this morning and not tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and claim honors and get right into it. We've got the Hart pick, and I am opening up, Eddie, with the Thunder -7.5 at -110. I think the Thunder didn't play particularly well in game one, but at the same time, they absorbed one of the Pelicans' best punches in a really gritty matchup, and the Thunder still won. And I think the Thunder are due for an explosive performance, while the Pelicans are due for a stinker after a week of high-pressure basketball. It's not like the Pelicans are NC State, though Zion would be great at pushing them to draft DJ Burns as like a perspective manipulator. Later, he could eat all he want and would look slender next to that big man. That's a good idea for the future, but not for the present. Thunder just have more firepower. I'm using the word think a lot, which makes it a Hart pick rather than statistical proof. My gut says that they end up covering in game two, and I cash this at -110.
I do like this bet a lot. I was ready to anoint the Thunder the next greatest team. I mean, we have commercials now with the SGA and Chet, but there is another bet on your board that I do like quite a bit. So I will save my tail. My Josh Hart bet right here. Vinny Trocheck to score. It's plus 155. My thought process was, well, number one, it's the Hart pick because I love the Rangers. And a quick aside, too. I mean, we mentioned the Islanders quickly, but like, you couldn't have held the Rangers out. You couldn't have just made it even get to overtime. Like, even if you gave up the lead, you surrender the lead, just take him to overtime, make the Canes play extra minutes, giving up two goals in 9 seconds. I mean, the goalie that Varlamov not even turning around to see where the puck was. They got to switch to Sorokin. You had a chance, Islanders, and you blew it. I mean, just terrible. Yeah. But hopefully, Vinny Trocheck and the Rangers get back on track here, win game two. I'm hoping, fingers crossed. It's plus 155 here. I was looking for a guy in the plus money to score. That makes a lot of sense. Obviously, Breadman's been so good, you're not going to get plus money with him. Chris Kreider did score last game, and he was plus money, so it's another good one. But because he just did score, I'm going to go with a guy who's centering Artemi Panarin, who's going to get a lot of power play time. Plus, Trocheck's winning a lot of faceoffs, which the Capitals did not do well, so he will see a lot of ice time, which is something me and you, Toby, talked about quite a bit last trendy. So this, to me, is an easy one, plus 155. And again, he had 25 goals this year. He had his most points ever with 77, so a phenomenal year for Vinny Trocheck, and I think he's going to score.
Yeah, that Islanders game. I actually went into the score sheet to mark down a loss. I think Nicky Lopez got his BS second hit deep in the eighth of a 6-0 game. And I marked the Islanders as a win because it was 3-1. You had the plus 1.5. You had 3.5 goals.
Toby, I could talk about that game for a half hour. I mean, winning 3-0 in the second, winning up by two with like 5 minutes left, and they like the amount of goals they surrendered, and then plus they give up the empty netter at the end of the game, which was just the real backbreaker there. So yeah, I was doubly upset. I was upset losing the bet, which I thought was a sure thing, and I was upset because I'm like, great, at the very least, this is going five games, not four games. They're stealing one in Raleigh. That would have been so great. And this team was just so putrid. There's just no offensive ability whatsoever. They had two shots on net after they scored their third goal. Like, that's it. Like, they just, they stink.
I love it. The real kind of curse of being a gambler is you're going to remember that Islanders loss so much longer than I'm going to win that Nugget. I'm going to remember the Nuggets Knicks like double miracle that got me to win that parlay. It's just like, it's just how we're all wired. We just remember the bad beats. We forget about the ones that come in. So I'll just keep mentioning how lucky I got last night, and not in an effort to rub it in your face or annoy the listeners, but to try to like seep it into my brain. So the next time that somebody like Nicky Lopez gets a meaningless hit that cost me a plus 167 bet, I remember I don't lose it every time. Sometimes I'm on the other end of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was the definition of a bad beat, and watching it happen, watching it unfold, you're 100% right. The excruciating losses just for some reason do stick with you more so than the cheering for the wins that you get. This was just, and like I said, it's a double whammy for me too, because in life I needed them to win this game, and I was failed.
All right. Well, hopefully I won't fail in my head category, Eddie. I am going to go with Sam Hauser, points plus rebounds over 8.5 at minus 110. And I almost put this as my Hart pick, given that he's a Wahoo. And along with Trey Murphy and Malcolm Brogdon, he showed that while Maryland does crab kicks in football, unwatchable offense and valuable NBA role players, that's what UVA does. Hauser's hot shooting in game one should keep him in the rotation, and the space created by all the Celtics shooters wreaked havoc on the Heat in their opening game. They can't concentrate on everything everywhere all at once, which is what the Celtics superpower is when all those guys are going. Natural they would sleep on Hauser, but Hauser's actually cleared 8.5 in 9 of his last 10 and 17 of his last 20. So it just comes down to opportunities for him, given the rotational minutes he's gotten, given the hot shooting, as well as the opportunity to play if the game gets a little bit out of hand. I'm willing to wager a unit on it on Wednesday that he does it again.
Look, the Celtics are a machine. As much as I want to see the Knicks win, we're talking about the Knicks a lot in this episode. Like, I feel like the Celtics are such a buzzsaw, and they're just a team that everyone's going to get involved. Everyone's going to look really, really good because the team is playing good as a whole. So, and speaking of machines, the reason why I had to get a guy to the plus money to score with my Hart pick is because of this. My head pick here, Nathan MacKinnon to score. It's minus 150. I just think he's a surefire bet here. He did score in game one. He had 2 points in that one. Again, the guy had 51 goals this year, 89 assists, 140 points. His plus minus was 35. He's on the ice a lot for goals. And losing that brutal game to the Jets, with just a terrible performance there from Alexander Georgiev in net, he's a guy that if you watch him play, he does really play with reckless abandon, like has the same kind of speed and skill as a McDavid does when he skates, or you can even put Austin Matthews up there as well. But McKinnon could fly, and he just has like does not care about his body, if that makes sense. He's just a junkyard dog really on the ice here. And this is a guy that knows they kind of gave away a game they probably should have won. They probably are the more talented team, the Winnipeg Jets, despite being the lower seed. So he's going to come out really just forcing these guys, putting them on his back, and he's going to score a goal in this game and to hopefully get the series 1-1 if you're an Avs fan.
You need a slump buster from time to time, so I'm not mad at you throwing down the one minus. What was it, 150 or 155?
150.
All right. Well, I like the juice on something you picked a little bit later, but every once in a while you got to grab one that you feel is a sure thing. For the heater, you've already given out yours for Tuesday. You're riding the Capitals and Rangers all week long on the under. You gave great analysis on that yesterday. Unders in NBA basketball just continue to crush. All three on Monday night went under. Lakers-Nuggets game, like the actual game was close as we keep talking about, but they were 23 points under the line. Like, I didn't have to sweat that minus the overtime. The unders are now 15-4 since the play-in started. And so I'm going to continue doing this. I'm just taking the highest one. I'm taking it blind under. Tonight it's Pacers Bucks under 223 minus 110. A Buck team that can't possibly just like bank on 35-point halves from Dame. Pacers team struggling to keep up all of a sudden versus where they were in the regular season as playoff intensity kicks in. Feel great about this one. 223 minus 110 at Caesars.
Yep, we talked about a little last show. I just don't think Dame is going to have the same. Oh, he's going to be good, but he's not going to have the same output as he did in the first game. And Hench on minus three did talk about the Pacers, or as he called them, the disgracers. He said basically outside of Siakam, like they're not a team that's like prime for the playoffs. Like the lights are too bright. And he was talking about how there was a play early on where the guy went up for a jump shot and they just bailed him the shot and landed, and they called like a travel. Like they're just not really ready for this Bucks team that has these vets who have been there, done that. So I think the under is a smart bet here. And I told you that last show, I'm going to say it again this show. So I think it's very smart.
Eddie, you are such a savant in hockey, and I can see where your head's at. And this is from a guy who mispronounces foreign names like over and over and over again on Covered in Glory. It is amazing that you can name every Russian frontliner who plays for all 30 teams, and you just called Siakam,
whatever. Yeah.
I know you. I get Ted show wrong. It's just funny that you, the hockey guy, misses the NBA guy's name given the pronunciation challenges in that sport.
What's funny is I do know him too. Like I know that he won with the Raptors and stuff. And I just whatever. It was a brain fart.
That's okay. Your brain's fully in hockey, and it's going to remain in hockey for your cred pick. I'll actually let you go first on this one because I have learned on Monday, if you put money on 2 units on a hockey pick, particularly a plus money one, I am automatically tailing it.
I it's just simple as just me, and I think the hockey, community has just seen the Lightning in the playoffs for every year for the last, it feels like 15 years. And, you have Vasilevsky, one of the best goalies in the league. You have Kucherov, who had 100 assists this year. One of six or seven players to have that. Also, Connor McDavid did do it this year as well. So he's been scoring at a crazy clip, and they have guys, they have the veteran Steven Stamkos, their captain. You have Victor Hedman, one of the best offensive defensemen in the game. You have Braden Point, great young player, just a lot of high-end talent. And yes, the Panthers are very talented as well, but in this battle of Florida, and that first game was very, very close, I'm not sure if there's a great home ice advantage here. I just trust the Lightning in the playoffs, and I think you're getting plus money on this team, and it's a team that's, been there, done that. And again, I'm not taking away from the Panthers. They had a historic run last year, beating the Bruins, who were the all-time greatest regular season team, making to the Cup Finals. But this is a Lightning team that's a dynasty. And I know they're not the same. They might not have the same depth as they used to. And Vasilevsky may not be as sharp as he once was. And I know Stamkos is probably on the way out of Tampa. But when you have the guy that may win the heart, if it's not McKinnon and Kucherov, and you have the rest of the guys that I just mentioned, you're going to be in a series. And I think out of the, there's a bunch of series going on. Yes, the Rangers-Caps is probably a boring series, but I think you have a couple really good ones. And I think that, the Stars the Golden Knights is a great series. I talked about the Avs and the Winnipeg Jets, and I think this one in the East is a series that's really pretty much a coin flip. And if you're going to get plus money on this team that's that good at plus 150, I just like the Lightning to even the series tonight.
I am riding the lightning with you. This was a no-brainer for me. I am on board. It sounds like I've got a no-brainer for you in my cred category. I am backing your Yankees to continue the New York momentum, minus a run and a half, so the run line is plus number. It's a plus number at plus 105. And I will just continue picking on bottom feeders when they are against elite lineups. It worked out well for me last night as the Braves took down the Marlins 3-0. And strangely, I feel even better about today after the Yankees got beat 2-0. Zero on a homer late last night.
Exactly.
Yeah, are they really going to continue to struggle against a vagabond team that is one small step above the Savannah Bananas at this point, which might actually be unfair to the Savannah Bananas because the Savannah Bananas can sell out a stadium.
Yeah, they're entertaining. People actually go pay to see them. They're entertaining, not like the Sacramento A's. Yeah.
Well, Paul Blackburn might want to consider pitching on stilts tonight as his hot start is primed to continue to regress back to his 4.64 career ERA, and the Yankees will be happy to help him on his way via the short porch in right field. Love Juan Soto tonight as well. They've only covered the run line in two of their last eight, so this pick isn't without risk, but I also think they are due to some reversion, and they get a big win tonight over the Sacramento A's.
There is no reason that the Yankees should lose another game the rest of this year to the Athletics. They have to win the next three games in this series. Losing that game 2-0 yesterday was inexcusable. And I understand their manager was tossed after the third pitch by Carlos Rodon for an egregious error made by Hunter Wennerstedt, who, by the way, has his own umpiring school where he collects money from people who want to become umpires, which is a bizarre career path there. I just think karma, because of how bad that was yesterday, even though the MLB will not correct it, the Yankees deserve some of that. And I think it's weird how good they've been, but because they've been winning for, starting pitching has been pretty good. And obviously Juan Soto, you can make the case right now, is probably the AL MVP, which is, it's way too early to discuss, but, but the bats have been pretty dead. Aaron Judge, I'm looking at you. So I'm with you. I'm tailing this, obviously, cause I mean, you could call it a homer pick, but they're just simply the better team here. And I think whether it's going to be a long ball from Stan or Soto just doing what he does. And, I got to give credit to Anthony Volpe, who's really turned things around from batting below the Mendoza line last season to being like the shortstop we all thought he could be this year. So Verdugo had three hits the other game a couple days ago. So I just think there's enough in the lineup that they could maybe scratch across four or five runs and win this game, 5-1, 5-0. So I'm with you completely. The Yankees are going to win this one.
I miss the old spaghetti and meatball segments when you guys did hockey at the end of minus three, but I think we should just replace him with WFAN Eddie, where you just give like the hardest homerous takes that you possibly can, like the umpire school bit that you just did. Like, I love it. I love where you dial all the way in to the local stuff and spit it out.
I know the show is going long, but it's like, and the fact that I don't know if you read all the comments or whatever with that Wendelstedt made, but after they do like that pool reporting thing where they want one person to talk to him, and he doubled down. And he was like, I understand that Boone was pointing to a fan. He goes, but I heard something on the other end of the dugout. So he's responsible for the entire dugout. He's responsible for the team. So I stand by my decision. And because he knows Manfred is like the weakest commissioner in all of sports, and he's not going to do a damn thing about it. Because how do I know this? Because we still watch Angel Hernandez pitch, ruin pitchers' lives every single day, calling balls down the middle. So, he's going to be fine. And the fact that he runs a school for people to be like him, I mean, it's just like, look, when you've ejected Aaron Boone when he was a player for the Reds and you're still doing games, like, it's time to move on. Just move down to Florida, sip a rum drink on the beach, and just move on with your life, because you're screwing up baseball. And it's like, does baseball really need this after the Ohtani stuff that I still don't believe whatsoever, and having these two umpires just ruining stuff? I mean, like the local regional blackouts, it's just, I love the game, but you're making it really hard for me to enjoy it.
Hell yes. WFAN Eddie live from Staten Island right now. We got a rare on location report here at Extra Points. This is the best.
Well, look, if the Yankees blow this game and we both lose this bet, then I can tell you the next trendy will be even worse. So that's all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, don't threaten everybody with a good time, Eddie. Let's give our sponsors a little bit of love, come back to our second guest express, and then see how our bets do to see how bad next episode will be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, Eddie, we are back, and I'm cooling off from your hot takes right now. I was able to take a sip of water in between. I appreciate that. Go ahead and give us another hot pick, though. What do you have in the second guess express? What are you locking in as a win by putting it on your betting bench?
Yeah, I just, you know, home ice advantage here, Vancouver Canucks. Nashville Predators are traveling quite a bit of stretch of land to make it out over here. The Canucks had a really surprisingly good season. I thought people thought they would be good, but not this good. I didn't slip it into one of my main four bets because I just think there's a chance of the Preds maybe, you know, being within a goal here. So I am going the Canucks minus the goal and a half. It's plus 158. I just think, you know, the offensive output from this Canucks team this year with a career high for JT Miller, 103 points. Quinn Hughes, the less talked about Hughes, you know, compared to Jack, 75 assists for a defenseman, which is pretty crazy. He's phenomenal at power play too, and he's just always on the ice for goals for his team with a plus minus of 38. So I just think their offensive output's a little too much for the Predators, who are more defensive minded team here, I would say. Although I do have Roman Josi, who is a defensive stalwart and probably one of the more underrated stars in the game. But I just think, you know, this 50 win Canucks team, they have a special season going on here, and I just don't like the travel for the Preds. And they, you know, they did lose game one 4-2, which means the Canucks covered that 1.5. So I like it to happen again. I think maybe the series gets a little bit closer when it goes back to Nashville, but right for now, if they're playing in Western Canada, I am going to side with the Canucks.
All right. Well, I am always siding with you on your hockey picks, and the fact that you didn't give it out makes it even tastier for me. I will tell you, Eddie, that I flirted pretty hard with going for the kill shot in the cred category by also throwing the Braves in. So if you take the Braves and the Yankees on the run line, it's plus 276. Like, we just don't have that many opportunities to have one of these like top three or four teams play one of the bottom three or four teams on the same day. And so I almost leverage that. And if you really want to go nuts, if you really want to live instead of survive, as our friend Sheck would say, throw the Dodgers in as well. Run line over the Nats, depending on how you feel about the Nats, winners of 8-13. That's all the way up to plus 550, though. So if you want to ride this theory to its logical conclusion, you can get that at excellent juiced up odds. But none of that is my official second guess express. Going with Sheffield United plus 1.5 at minus 105 tomorrow. They're playing against Manchester United, who struggled to keep up with a mid-table championship side on Sunday in a game that completely melted Brett's brain. If you like WFAN, Eddie, wait until you hear Covered in Glory this week with my friend Brett, who is about to go ham on VAR and United. I am with him at least as far as Wednesday, because if United is missing Bruno Fernandes as well as Rashford and McTominay, along with all their defensive injuries, you could squint and you can see that them and the worst team in the Premier League are actually a lot closer in talent than the odds dictate. So I will go with Sheffield to keep it close in front of a crowd in Manchester that's about to turn hostile again.
Oh, I think that I see that. Then I did see that. That was the fan base who tried to like re-enter the stadium to complain about the replay. Was that what happened, or they were kicked out for complaining about it?
I actually don't know the story. You got a soccer story that I don't know.
I thought it came out on my Twitter feed. Yeah, I thought it came on my Twitter feed that they were like fans who tried to re-enter a stadium because they were protesting the VAR, the replay. Yeah, so I thought that's maybe I figured that you guys saw. I mean, if you know, I'm sure it'll be covered on Covering Glory. Brett's probably shaking his head saying I'm an idiot, but because again, how you feel with hockey is how I feel with soccer. I obviously listen and see the clips. You guys post the clips. I'm like, that's I understand the Premier League now from both of you guys. So I thought maybe you would have a take, but it seems like, well, look, across the board, no matter if it's umpires or computers, I think we're all complaining about calls that the referees or the AI refs make.
Yeah, well, first of all, the game is at Wembley, so good luck re-entering the National Stadium. But two, like we're in good company. Like LeBron is now out there walking out of press conferences complaining about the refs and the umps. And so if I can go ahead and put myself in the same company as the GOAT for a day, then I might as well do it,
What a loser. He even brought up
right?
the 76ers Knicks game and his press game conference too. And it's like, again, like LeBron, go check out Twitter, check out your social media that you're always on. There's replay of Nick Nurse waiting. He was super late in the timeout call. So please stop trying to be the ambassador for the league. How about this? Win the game. Stop complaining about it.
All right, well, I would say stop complaining in general, but that would ruin the pre-production meeting for minus three. Yeah, you guys really got into it with Hench this week. I'm about halfway in. It sounds like the back half is as good as the first half. Then you're doing some draft special, right, for tomorrow?
Yep. Back half minus three is very good. We get into the Hunter Wendell stats stuff. They recorded Hench and Dave recorded the very special 50th anniversary of the 1974 Pittsburgh Steelers draft. That talks about Bill Nunn drafting players from the HBCUs, and they had five Hall of Fame players from that draft. We basically say, like, look, you may get lucky in a draft and you get two. Three is probably a stretch, but no one's ever going to come close to five players ever again. That kind of cemented the Steelers and the football lore. So it was a great job by both of them. About a 40-minute episode, and then we will have another minus three as well on I believe Thursday. Also Thursday with Sarah Tiana on Extra Points. I'm sure we'll get into a lot of fun stuff there as well. So a good week on here on my on Extra Points.
Yeah, we're loading up on Thursdays. You and I will be back doing our final episode on Thursday. All of us want to watch the draft on Thursday night and not record on Friday. We'll also have Lemon Pepper Parlay back to really break
Yes.
down more of these playoff matchups later today.
I can't wait
And
to hear I can't wait to hear Gunnels complain about his Lakers. It's going to be an all-time listen.
Martin is not going to be here for it for 1 minute. So that'll be a great dynamic that we'll get to listen to. More covered in glory with, as I promised, Brett is about to lose his mind over Manchester United and VAR. So tune in for at least the meltdown for that, if not for the whole show. Eddie, I wish you the best of luck with your continued on-site location at the epicenter of sports right now. And everybody else continue just reveling this week. This is one of the best weeks. We had one of the best nights to kick it off. I don't think we can probably clear those highs, but I can't wait to see everybody try. See you all on Thursday and take care, everyone.